Hi, folks. Pastor Ben Webster here with Faith Community United Methodist Church here in Xenia, Ohio. And we are so glad that you have taken the time to be able to worship with us online this week. Now, some of you may not have figured this out yet, but I am not Pastor Andy, which some of you may have been expecting this morning, but he is off and enjoying a well-deserved week of vacation. And during our prayer time later, we're going to be praying for him that he comes back to us and he is recharged, refreshed, and ready to go. In the meantime, would you please join us in our worship this morning as Jennifer Webster sings for us the song, You Say.
Thank you.
Please pray with us. Father in heaven, we are so grateful for this day that you have given us to be able to come into your presence. Lord, to be able to come together as one community, as one congregation, as one people that loves you. Father, we are so grateful for the blessings that you have poured out upon us. We are so thankful for the many gifts that you have blessed us with. And Lord, we know that there is no way that we can ever begin to repay you for all of the goodness that we've done, that you've done for us. So, Father, we humble ourselves in your presence. We worship you. God, I pray that for those that are in our service, for those that are with us online, Father, you know our needs, you know our requests, you know those of us who need to feel some healing. You know, Lord, those of us that need to feel some strength and some encouragement. And Father, you know what our struggles are even before we speak them to your name. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just begin to move right now. Lord, may your will be done in our lives. May your will be done in our church. And may we always, always focus on keeping our focus on you and not on ourselves. Father, we thank you for those first responders that are out there risking their lives every day. God, we thank you for our military, whether they are deployed or whether they are here at home. Lord, we still pray that you would bring them back to our families safely. And Father, through all things, we acknowledge that there is no one better than you. And Father, as we close this prayer, we close it as we do every week, by reciting the prayer that Jesus taught us while he was here. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And it reads, "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid.' 'Lord, if it's you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come to you on the water.' 'Come,' he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink and cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You of little faith,' he said, 'why did you doubt?' And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. You know, a few years ago, Jennifer and I had the opportunity to to buy a pontoon boat. And I remembered how much fun I had had with the boat that my dad owned when I was a teenager. And I was hoping for the same experience for my family. I was so excited thinking about the fun that we were going to have with this boat. Then I quickly found out I didn't know as much about boats as I thought I should have. We enjoyed many evenings on that boat. Sometimes we went to fish. Sometimes we went to tube. Sometimes we just went on a cruise around the lake. Until one day when it all went terribly wrong. We had decided to go out on a Saturday. It was a beautiful day. And we had taken our two youngest kids with us. We had planned for just an amazing day on the lake. And we dropped anchor and I killed the engine. And we were having an awesome time. But, well, you know, after a while, sometimes when you go fishing, you don't exactly have the best of luck. And we were not having a great day fishing. I don't even think we got a single bite. So I had the idea that it was time to move on and go and do something else, which seemed to be a great idea at the time. However, the boat that I was piloting, it wouldn't start. And I cranked that key and I did everything that I knew what to do. And that boat just wouldn't start. So I had already pulled the anchor. We had already started to drift dead in the water. I panicked. I had no idea what to do. I'm piloting a boat, no power. We're dead in the water. We drifted, and I fought frantically to get that boat started, and I just couldn't get it done. And we ended up drifting to the shore where there were some piers that were sticking up from the water, and there was a couple of guys in a small fishing boat who had seen that we were in distress. And we ended up slamming into that pier. And the guys that were in the small boat, they were so helpful because they helped us to tie off the boat. And then they knew we were secure. I felt we were still secure, but I still had no idea what to do. And these two guys, they told me that we'll help you out of here, but we just hit our favorite fishing spot. Do you mind if we stick around for a few and see what we can find? And I'm the guy going, you guys help me. Who am I to stop you? I'll wait around. I'll throw my rod in the water and we'll see if we can have some luck together. We're going to come back to that story. And I'm going to tell you how that ended, but for the moment, let's get into our scripture. Our scripture text this morning tells us of a Bible story that most of us are very, very, very familiar with. It's a story that some of us have heard growing up in a Sunday school class, maybe a vacation Bible school, or somewhere that we remember hearing it preached in the church. Some of us have heard a lot of sermons that have been preached on this story. Some of us listening to this may have even preached a sermon on this story on their own. I'd like to start by setting the stage for what is about to happen. You see, Jesus had just gotten word in Matthew 14, verses 1 through 12, that John the Baptist had just been beheaded by King Herod. We can see in Matthew 14, 13, that when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat to a solitary place. Jesus wanted some time to be by himself. Yet he was so popular that we read in verse 13 and 14, hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. And he spent the time to heal their sick. You see, Jesus just couldn't catch a break. His time was of such great demand, and the people needed him and they longed for him. In verse 15, we even see that the disciples tried to take care of him. And it says, as evening approached, the disciples came to him and they said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. send the crowds away so they could go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Now, I don't intend to get into the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, as that's another sermon for another day. But now we pick up with our story this week. I believe that there are four things we can learn from our text this morning. See, the first thing is, Jesus sends us on journeys. Our text this morning in Matthew 14, 22 says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. Two words here that I want to focus on. Number one is immediately. Number two is made. This was something that Jesus wanted to happen now. Not later, not at the disciples' convenience, not when they felt like it, but now. And as I read that, I have to ask myself, have I ever felt Jesus telling me to do something now? Have you ever felt Jesus telling you to do something now? You know, sometimes Jesus simply sends us on a journey. Why? Maybe it's to learn more about ourselves. Maybe it's to learn to put our faith and our trust in him. And maybe sometimes it's just because he said so. We don't always know, and we don't always need to know why. We just need to listen and follow and go. Going on journeys, being sent on journeys, can teach us such a great deal about our trust, about our faith, and about our dependence on him. So let's fast forward in our story of just a few moments. According to the scripture, Jesus sent his disciples on a journey to be able to have some time to himself to pray. Once he had sent them out, verse 23 says that he went up on a mountainside to pray. He wanted some time with God, his Father. He had been so spent and so tired. He needed some time to recharge and to rejuvenate. And as we continue to read in the scripture, we see that later that night, he was there alone in the boat with the disciples. Was already a considerable distance from the land, and it was being buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. See, in verse 25, we see that shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the water. Not in a simple way like you and I would have done it, maybe renting a boat or asking someone for a ride. Jesus walked on the water to meet his disciples. What? Can you even picture that? And when the disciples saw him, they were terrified. They actually said, in the scripture, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. Can you just imagine with me for a moment what the disciples must have been thinking? I understand their fear. This isn't like anything that has ever been seen before. And it sure wasn't anything like I could ever imagine having seen. Can you? Our second point today comes from verse 27, and Jesus states, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. There's that phrase again. Don't be afraid. That's a phrase that has been used all throughout the Bible when God or an angel has encountered somebody. Mary, don't be afraid. Elizabeth, don't be afraid. It is I. You see, Jesus encourages us. He supports us when he sends us on a journey. He doesn't want us to be afraid of what we're about to encounter. The same story is also accounted for in Mark 6 and John 6, but you know, those accounts leave out the story of Peter actually walking on the water. Jesus talks a lot about courage during his ministry. Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." Matthew 17, 7, Jesus said, "Get up, don't be afraid." Acts 23, 11, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage." In Acts 27, 22, Paul even said, "But now I urge you to keep your courage, because not one of you will be lost." You know, there are many other instances in the scripture where we are encouraged or told to be strong and have faith. Jesus doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants us to be courageous. The lesson we need to learn is, where do we draw our courage from? In times of trouble, when we are encountering things that we've never been through before, COVID-19. When we don't know where to go or what to do, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14, to be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. Now we move on to my favorite part of this story, and one of my favorite people in the Bible, and our third point: focusing. Focusing our faith. We see in verse 28 and 29 that after the disciples thought they'd seen a ghost, Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." The question I have to ask is, if that was of me and I'd asked that question, would I have taken that first step? Are you kidding me? I am sitting here in the safety of a boat. The seas are rough. Why on earth would I get out of this boat, my safety, and do something like that? It simply doesn't make any rational sense. But the bigger question to ask is, was Peter focusing on his own faith, or was Jesus focusing on Peter's faith? You see, the dictionary defines the word focus as the center of interest or activity. Peter didn't say, "Lord, I know it's you." Peter said, "Lord, if it is you." Peter was focusing on a need, a question. Immediately in verse 29, Jesus tells Peter to come. Think about that for a second. When do we know it's Jesus? Even though we may not be able to see him clearly, just like that night or day on the water when the wind and the waves were turmoiling and the boat was being buffeted, do we know it by his voice? By the shepherd? Do we know it by his actions? Maybe some of us even with his eyes. How do we know that it is Jesus? Do we know it by the strange warming of the heart, as John Wesley described it? You know, Peter was known as being very impulsive. He's also known as someone who had foot and mouth syndrome. You know the kind of people that I'm talking about. But I believe through Peter's actions, he knew it. He knew it was his Savior on that water. He knew it was Jesus, and he knew that if it was Jesus, that all things could be made possible. And he demonstrated this by getting out of that boat and moving towards Jesus. Wow. Can you imagine what must have been going through Peter's head? I'm actually walking on water. But what happened next? Very simple. Peter got distracted and he lost his focus. Verse 30 states that when he saw the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink. Folks, the weather was so bad at that day that he saw the wind and he began to sink. In other words, he saw the turmoil that was around him. And I don't know how many of you have been on open water when the wind kicks up. But with the wind comes the waves. And Peter saw the disruption to the calm that was all around him. You know, maybe in a modern day world, Peter woke up with a headache and just didn't feel like going to work that day. Maybe Peter had the telemarketers calling a cell phone. Maybe he saw his child waking up in the morning saying that they didn't feel good and they aren't going to school that day. Maybe he saw the distractions from the news. Peter, on that day, he realized that he got distracted right in the middle of it. And he lost his focus on the one. The one that was giving him the power to overcome all of life's challenges. He was failing to focus on his full relationship with Jesus Christ. Doesn't this happen in our own lives? Times when we know that we aren't in control, or even sometimes it may feel like we've completely lost control. Times in our lives when we're trying to overcome the wind and the waves that are so disruptive by the calm seas that we are accustomed to sailing on. Just like Peter, sometimes we lose our focus on Jesus. Sometimes we lose our focus and try to overcome life all by ourselves. Sometimes we forget where our strength and our courage come from, and we forget to stay focused on the one that can help us to overcome everything. You know, I don't blame Peter for losing his focus. There was so much going on around him, and here he was, walking on water. So what happens next? Peter was in such a bad situation that he began to sink. And he called out to the Lord in verse 30, "Save me. Save me." What a powerful phrase. And this leads us to our final point today. Jesus rescues us when we fail. Think about that for a second. Jesus rescues us when we fail. Maybe even a better way to put that is that Jesus wants to rescue us even in spite of us, in spite of our own failures. Peter had really failed here. He was bold enough to challenge Jesus with questioning him as to who he was. And then right before he stepped out of the boat, he had to ask, "Is it you?" in verse 28. And then after that, he lost his focus on Jesus and he got distracted by everything that was going on around him. And then just as Peter began to sink, he cries out for help. And Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him in verse 31. What really strikes me on this passage, Jesus didn't extend his hand to Peter offering help. He didn't wait for Peter to grab his hand. He reached down and he caught him and pulled him out of the danger that he was in. How many times have we needed for Jesus to reach out and to grab us? He doesn't want to see us become lost to the waves or lost to the turmoil that's around us. He doesn't want to see us hurting. He loves us too much not to reach out his hand and lift us up from the troubles that we are enduring, even though we may have brought some of those troubles upon ourselves. Now back to my story with the boat. Remember the pontoon boat that was dead, just floating in the water, slammed against the pier? With the help of a couple guys who were fishing, these guys offered us a lifeline to pull us back to the pier. We untied both of our boats from the pier, and this little ranger boat that the other guys had started to take off and towing us. Now, when I say towing us, it's not what you may be thinking. One guy was driving the lead boat. The other guy was literally holding the rope that was tied to our boat, and he was pulling us. And he was completely focused. This guy holding our rope, our lifeline, he worked with all of his might to keep his grip and to keep us following smoothly. That trip that, if I'd have had power, would have taken 5 minutes. That trip lasted almost an hour to get our boat to the safety of the dock. And once we got to our dock, I could tell that the gentleman holding the rope to our boat was completely and absolutely exhausted. He had worked with all of his might to make sure me and my family that we got to safety. And when I think about the anguish that he went through and how sore his muscles must have been the next day, I think about how much Jesus longs for us and how Jesus wants to make sure we are safe and secure. You see, Jesus didn't have to save Peter on that day. Sometimes Jesus sends us on our journey to help us to build our faith in him. Sometimes we do lose faith. Sometimes we need to realize that we just can't do it by ourselves. Sometimes we need to grow our faith by working through the hard times. And sometimes we need to grow our faith by realizing that we simply need help. We need him. I will never forget those two men that helped me and my family in a time of need when our boat was dead in the water. And at a time when I had no idea what to do or who to even call for help. We should never forget that Jesus is always there for us, even when it seems like our boat is dead in the water, even when it seems like we are sinking into the water. You see, this isn't just a simple story about one man's lack of faith. This is a story about focus. You know, maybe another definition of focus is a reiteration of a commitment. The point of my story is this. We all have our own boats. We all have our own lives. They don't always work the way that we think they should. Sometimes we simply need help. Sometimes we need to depend on others to help us. You see, Peter chose to step out of the boat that he was on and place his trust in Jesus. Are you willing to step out of your boat and place your trust and your focus in Jesus? If not, there's no better time than right now to focus on the prize, on Jesus, who will help us to overcome everything, even when we aren't sure what to do or where to go. Where is your focus? Where is your help when you decide to step out of that boat? What are you looking to? Whose eyes are you focused on? Are you focused on Jesus? Or are you focused on your own self and your own abilities? Isn't it time to focus on the Lord and what his desire is for us and quit trying to focus on our own abilities? and wants. Father in heaven, we are so grateful for this time that you have given us. Lord, as we take a look this morning as to what our focus is, what our priorities are, God, we are so thankful that you are the one who rescues us when we need you. Lord, as we leave this place, help us to carry the light of your love into our communities, that no matter wherever we go, people can see you living with us. Father, we thank you. Please keep us safe, keep us healthy, and bring us back together again. In your precious name, amen.